What's going on, After Buzzers, and welcome back to the Ray Donovan After Show. The season premiere left us with so many questions, and we're just going to break them all down for you here. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I love this throwback. Shout out to the engineer for picking up fire intro.
What up?
To the brand new season.
This is a great choice.
Yeah.
Especially all we told him was, yeah, it's death.
Love our engineer.
Great job.
Well, if you didn't know already, this is obviously the Ray Donovan After Show. We're doing season 5, episode 1, which is called Abby. And if you don't know why it's called Abby, then you need to go watch the episode and then come back to us. Again, I'm Olivia Gabaret. I'm back. And you can hit me up at @TheReal_O_G. And we have a fresh new panel for a fresh new season.
Woohoo! Yeah.
What's up?
My name's Elizabeth Alfano, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DinnerPartyCHGO. And I'm still on Facebook, people. I am like the only one left, but I am still there. You can find me at Elizabeth Alfano, and then all of my celebrity interviews are at TheDinnerParty.tv. Rachel?
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman or Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman. So both of us are on Facebook.
Okay, the two of us.
I'm not, though.
You see? Oh, my word.
It's okay. Thank you guys for joining me this season. Yeah. Have you always been, like, big Ray Donovan
Die hard.
Fans?
Yeah. Die
this
hard.
This is such a good show. And I'm from Boston, and obviously I live in L.A. now, so I feel that special connection with the family because, you know, they're Boston transplants living in L.A.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because I'm from Chicago, and when my boyfriend and I were considering moving to Los Angeles, it's the Ray Donovan show that convinced us because
really?
We were like, oh my god, check out all the palm trees and everything's so technicolor, you know, the way they like look at Venice Beach or, you know, everything's just kind of over the top, and we were like, well, we got to get it on, let's go to LA.
Yeah, it's so. A different vibe out here.
Yeah,
totally.
But I've only been here a year, so even though I'm, you know, I'm not from Boston, it's still kind of cool seeing a family who's from the East Coast, because Pennsylvania and Massachusetts aren't that far from each other.
Right.
So.
Yes. It is funny, and it's so, what I love about watching the show is because we do live in LA, you notice a lot of the locations and scenes that they're shooting because it's places that we just, you know, walk by on a regular basis. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, it's so fun.
But so season 4 wrapped up, and I feel like it kind of wrapped up with a bow, right? We had Ray was in so much trouble with the Russians, but he ended up working out with the help of his family. The family all came together to take down the Russians and prevail, and it ended in just a big old happy party.
It was, with more great music.
Yeah.
So, rock me, baby. Don't be like Ray. It's just so fun. And everyone was dancing and food, and here we thought, Terry's in love. He's going to get married. Terry's on top of the world. He's this fighter. He's finally gotten his chance. You know, he says all season 4, like, I never got to do these things, and this is what I want. He's getting it. Ray's finally getting to breathe. He's out of trouble. Bunchy's wife is back. We thought, like, she wasn't going to make it, and she's back. So everyone's happy. Mickey is even happy. But now we've got
so
season 5.
So you obviously know it's not going to last,
right?
Because when is everybody happy in Ray Donovan? Yeah, there's always problems 24/7.
Right.
And what was so, I think what stuck out most to me at the end of season 4 was that Abby and Ray were finally in a good place, and they hadn't been in a good place for a very
long
time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they were never in a really great place.
Yeah.
And then even I just knew something had to happen just because it kind of felt like it was wrapped up a little too neatly.
Mm-hmm. I did feel that. It was a little bit too happy for the Ray Donovan show, basically,
right.
You know? So it was a little bit too happy, but I don't know. I sort of thought they had a good relationship in their own way. So it's certainly not the relationship I want for myself in my own life, but they had something very special. You talk about that Boston bond. Mm-hmm. You know, I forget now the seasons kind of blend together, but I forget if it's season 3 or season 4 where Abby says to these women who are very wealthy LA women, like, hey, I don't leave my husband. That's not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're family. We stick it out. There's just that bond there between them. So I, you know, Abby's always referencing, like, we don't have sex like we used to. But still, there's that. So it's not all the romance and the fireworks, but there seems to be something that they have that's untouchable. So
it's that bond. Because they were with each other from the beginning, you know. They grew up together,
right,
essentially.
Kids,
so they were in it for the long run, and they had a family at this point. But now we get into season five, which I think because season four wrapped up in that way, it really left a large window of opportunity for the new season, because the storyline could really go anywhere at that point because everything was completely wrapped up. So we open the season premiere with Mickey, who's picking up flowers and a boutonniere for Terry's wedding. And what I thought was strange from the beginning, did you guys notice that he had Abby's dog with him?
Yes, because I love that dog. Little side note, that dog makes cameos all the time. I love that dog. He's just a huge star.
But Abby loved him too.
And what struck me is that we did not see the name on that grave. And so instantly I was thinking, okay, like I almost kind of figured it had
really?
To be her.
Yeah. You knew it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking because his girlfriend Sylvie, and I knew he was a little bit sad, and my train of thought was going toward her only because
me too.
He seemed a little bit sad because, first of all, why would you be sad if your son's getting married? You
know? That's true, yeah.
Yes.
But I figured, like, maybe he's a little bit jealous because he wanted this for himself and now he can't have it.
Oh, see, I'm with you. I thought he was reminiscing about Sylvie, thinking, mm-hmm. I'm going to this wedding alone. I should have someone on my arm. Mm-hmm. You know, he's such a romantic. In his odd way. And so this idea of love and for him not to be in love or have a love when someone else is experiencing love, I think is hard for him. But you think it was Abby's grave.
I figured it was her. Okay. I just kind of, I don't know, something just struck me about it.
Wow.
And the way, like, I could see what you guys were saying, but I just thought instantly, I mean, I think maybe the dog had to do with it too.
Yes.
But also just the fact that we didn't see the grave marker. And I knew it had to be a major character, like a major, major character. And I almost kind of felt like his sadness was more like a fatherly sadness.
Hmm.
I don't know why, but I kind of saw that he was bringing the flowers.
That's
to the
interesting. And I mean, we still don't know. He could have been it either.
That's true, yeah.
But you're right, there's that, if I can just spare one second, you're right, I didn't put this all together, but there's that time when Mickey says about the dog in the beginning, but the dog gets lonely too, because now he doesn't have Abby.
Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of foreshadowing before we actually got a better idea what had happened. But obviously when you don't know that it happened, you're not really picking up on it until after the fact.
Yeah.
And so then we see Ray is in therapy, and that's of course something he has never been good at because he never shares his feelings to anyone in his family, his friends, never mind a stranger that he's court ordered to do so.
Right. And that's totally outside world. So all of Ray's world is about the inside, and we don't rat and we don't tell and we don't go outside our own underground world. So anything as official as a therapist or a policeman or a judge or that's just not gonna work.
I was like, I know the court's making him do this, but I just knew, you know, there was no way he was gonna say a word, even if it had nothing to do, even if it wasn't specific.
Mm-hmm.
I just really doubt he's gonna get anything out of this, and I'll be very surprised if he does end up actually talking about his feelings.
I wish he would, though, because you could just tell, I feel like he's waiting to pop. You know, he must have so much built-up emotion. You think about all the things. I mean, it doesn't have to be about his business and his line of work, but, you know, within his family, especially now, he has a lot going on.
Yes, and I was very surprised, and I hope I'm not sort of taking you out of sequence here, but I was surprised. So we come to realize that Abby's gone, and we knew that the daughter was going to go to college. So that's, Bridget, we knew about that. I didn't see it coming that Connor would go away to school. So now Ray has no one around him.
Right.
Except Mickey, who drives him crazy. So, and, you know, even Bungie's on the road. So I was surprised. Why do you think they sent Connor away?
Good
Why do you think Connor went away?
Well, I don't know if you guys remember, but he definitely could have benefited from boot camp. Because if you remember, he took his dad's gun and he was being kind of rebellious. And you could tell that he was just very desperate for attention that he wasn't getting. However, come to find out later on that he was always going away before and after Abby passed, because Ray and Abby were speaking about, oh, we're about to have an empty house. What are we going to do? So it was always known that these two were going to, the two kids were going
to
be gone.
Yeah. So but I figured that Connor would go away to college.
Yeah.
But he's not in college yet.
Right. He's not old enough.
He's not old enough.
His sister just went.
Right. So that's why I'm surprised that at high school age, they sent him away.
Probably because of what happened.
Probably.
Yeah. Otherwise, I kind of felt like in that car conversation, I didn't think they meant they were going to send Connor away right then and there. I felt like it meant, well, they are getting to that age where eventually they're going to go to college, and then it's just going to be us. And what do you want to do? We don't want to just, you know, like, let's make some, you know, plans here. Right.
Open a bar.
Yeah.
Feel like it's at home. But, I mean, there's so many questions that this episode leaves us with, and that's definitely one of them. And another is when we see Ray is in this therapy session, it's for a reason that we don't really know and understand.
Right. Yeah.
They speak about this fight that he had in the bar with his family, when he was beating his father and his brother, and which is kind of, I mean, he's fought them before. This is not the first time. But this time, Bridget actually called the cops on him.
Yes.
So it must have been pretty drastic for her to do something like that.
Well, you see
that.
Him taking a chair, and, like, you know, he's unstoppable with rage, and I guess drunk rage. So, and without a mother to stop and intervene,
I think. And we don't, like, again, we are just left to speculate kind of what happened. We don't know why they were fighting.
Right.
Were they at Abby's bar? Were they at a different bar? Was Abby gone?
Exactly. We don't know if she was gone yet. It could have been before, but it would make sense that she would have been gone already, and then maybe this is what triggered these emotions in him that sent him down this path where now he's in anger management trying to deal with everything.
Right. And we've seen him struggle with alcoholism before in previous seasons. You know, he enjoys a drink from time to time, and most of the time it gets the best of him, and he does make poor choices when he's drinking. So it definitely could have contributed to the fight that he got in.
And just his inability to process all his emotions, understandably, because I think even for the most balanced among us, you know, if you've got that kind of pressure in so many different areas of your life, you're going to crack. And they even have it on the ad for Ray Donovan. He's cracking, physically, literally cracking. So, I mean, it's understandable that you're just going to lose it.
Yeah, I believe it.
I don't want to jump ahead too much, but speaking of the anger management, when he went to Abby's and we saw that child trauma sheet, and he, for a second, I wondered if he was going to actually be honest, and then he flashes and sees Abby while he's in the process of kind of making his decision about something with child trauma. So it's just kind of interesting that that's where his brain would go. As if, at least, even if he's not going to tell someone that he is experiencing trauma, he's at least willing to admit to himself that this is trauma and he is going through trauma right now.
Right, 100%. Yes. And we know that he and his brothers went through things when they were childs, not only with Mickey and their mother and their family situation, but also, you know, the large priest problem that Boston did have at that point in time. They were all victims of it.
Yeah.
But when he was looking at that sheet, he automatically circled no for every single one.
Yeah.
So that was a giveaway right there that he's not taking this seriously at all. And you could, I agree with you, you could kind of tell he was considering it, he was thinking about it, but then he was like, nope, no way.
Yeah.
So we know about this fight, but we kind of have to travel down that road to see what actually really happened. But then we see Terry preparing for his wedding, and now he has a pacemaker for his Parkinson's.
And he also has two huge scars on top of his head because apparently he's gone through surgery, which I didn't know was actually possible, that you could go through surgery to alter the outcome of Parkinson's. I didn't realize that that was possible to do. But.
And that it would have that much an effect because literally they turn the machine off and
he starts shaking
again.
Right.
Yeah. So also, did it get, it must have gotten worse too, to the point where he needs to have that in
him now. Well, the last season I felt like it was very bad.
Me too.
It was affecting everything that he did.
And he was getting so weak in addition, right?
And so it's good that he finally has a hold on it now, and he's kind of getting his life together because now he fell in love and he's about to get married. However, I couldn't help but think, we know that Ray smashed something over a brother's head.
Right.
And it's a little bit ironic that Terry does have these scars on his head.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. And so, then I don't think Ray could have inflicted that.
I mean, I don't know, because he was so enraged, and we don't really know how severe it was.
But Terry's also not the fighter. But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I sort of immediately ruled it out because Terry's not really the fighter, whereas yeah. Bunchy can get up and do whatever he needs to do.
But I think Terry's feisty. I don't think physically he could handle a fight, but I don't think he's really one to back down.
No, you're right. You're right. I agree
he
with
has
you.
He's too much pride for that.
I could see that being the situation. The only thing that makes me think otherwise is the fact that Terry still seems like he's okay with mm-hmm. Ray, and that he's okay with him enough to have a deep conversation with him.
I mean,
like,
they all seem that way.
They all seem okay. Yeah.
And that's
each other.
What's so bizarre about this family is, I mean, not bizarre, it's kind of nice, but kind of not at the same time, that no matter what happens with all of them, they all end up okay. And I'm not saying whatever Ray did is okay, but they probably excused him to an extent because of everything he's going through.
Yeah, it seems like the outside world wouldn't understand that kind of fight, but they actually amongst themselves do. Mm-hmm. And so when Ray goes wacky and starts beating up his brother and his father, I don't think it affects them like it affected the therapist when he heard about it. I think they were like, live and let live. That's how we deal with things. We've got some alcohol, we've got some anger, we've got some death, we've got some problems.
Bang it out,
and then we'll be back tomorrow.
And then we're good.
Yeah.
But I do feel bad for Terry, because you could tell that he is really in love with this cop that we... What was her name again? I want to say it's Lori.
Lori.
Her name's Lori. We know her from last season, and they have a good relationship. He brings her coffee to work every single morning.
Doesn't miss.
But it seems like her family is really connected in the Force. So her brothers and her uncles and whoever, they're all officers.
Yeah, and they do not like him.
No, they don't.
No, of course not. Because remember, like, this is a family of criminals,
completely.
So to speak. They all have a record of some sort, and Terry came clean to an extent, but he didn't come 100% clean, and I think that was sort of a mistake, because if you know what she does for work and what her family does for work.
And to not think that maybe the family, even if she wouldn't check, to not realize that someone in her family would run his background and figure it out, and if he had told her first, it would have sounded better coming from him than coming from
a
brother.
Right.
Yeah, because of course the brother's probably going to put a spin on it that sounds even worse, whereas he could have gently kind of told her and explained what he was going through when everything happened.
Right.
I mean, I think it looks even worse because he was hiding it. You know what I mean? And if you're going to come clean about other stuff, you might as well just dish it all out at once.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he goes to Ray, like everybody in the family does, you know, seeking help to talk about it and kind of hash it out. But he seems to think that this marriage really isn't going to happen. Like this, it was the Nevada thing, right? When he was helping Mickey out last season?
Yes. I'm not...
Is that what we're referring
to? Yes, I think when he says that they found out about Nevada, so I think it's that when Mickey killed everybody in Nevada because they shot Sylvie. Prim.
Yeah.
Bill Prim and his bodyguards and the money that they stole. But what was confusing for me about that is that Terry wasn't a part of any of that.
I don't really know. Like, I didn't think that he was either. It was wasn't Bunchy the one that was there?
It was really just Mickey, and then Bunchy also went. Right.
Unless there's something we don't quite know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if he had not been part of it, then I don't think it would have been on his record. And number two, he felt guilt. Like, he didn't try to deny it.
Mm-hmm,
and he didn't say, well, I'll go to her and tell her the truth.
Right.
Instead, he's acting like he's guilty and that there's no way
Maybe it's not the deaths that took place in Nevada, then. Maybe it's the money laundering that went through the fight club about placing fights and rigging fights.
Okay.
And that stems from Nevada money.
Yeah.
So
or maybe, too, he's just connected to it because he's part of the family.
Although,
just another mystery that we have
hit
to
us up
out.
People on the live stream if you guys have an idea you guys let us know what you think as well.
I'm just gonna give a shout out. We have a couple people in the chat.
Oh, great.
We have Mario Ramos. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. And we have Hubby Joe. So thank you guys.
Hey.
If you guys have
so what do you guys think
if you have any comments or questions, let us know.
Yeah, 100%. So we're still figuring out the Terry situation. Not quite sure what Nevada means for him or for his marriage.
But we know that he's brokenhearted. I think the marriage is off. Isn't that what he said? That it's off.
I don't think they told her yet, but he's probably assuming that it's going to be off.
Well, I took it like he was expecting she was going to break it off once she found out.
I thought she already had found out, although we didn't see a scene as such.
Right. I would hope they would show us.
I would hope that they would show us, but the way he was talking and the way he wasn't going to give the box of jewelry, I thought, okay, he knows for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Could be. But yeah, I think he's just... he strikes me as one of the more realistic characters in terms of knowing ahead of kind of what's going to happen. So I think he's preparing for the worst.
Yes, right.
Poor Terry. And then we see Bunchy is on quite a different path. He's already married, has a child, but we knew that Teresa was a wrestler of some sort. Like, we saw her in other seasons. And then, of course, last season she was really sick. She had, like, after her pregnancy, she had, like, really severe depression. But now they're finally good and they're back together. She's back in the ring, and he's trying to go on tour with her as a wrestler himself. And he's auditioning for this wrestling role because he wants to go with her. But he actually is also working for Ray on the side.
Yes, at the bar, because there is a bar named Abby now, running the bar.
And he was working in the office with Lena as well, where Javi used to work. And but obviously he doesn't really like that because he can't seem to figure out the correct paper to buy, the correct coffee to buy. He really just seems like an assistant or a whatever person. Like, you know, the one that does all
the tasks. Like the go-fetch kind of guy intern. For everybody. Yes, right, the quintessential intern. But I love the name of that, so I'm trying to find my notes. Was it Lucha?
Lucha.
No. Lucha Mucho? Oh. No, wait.
I knew, because here we have an after show called Lucha Underground, so that's right. A wrestling show. But then we saw that it was called Lucha Noche.
Lucha Noche, like, there you go. I have Lucha Mucha, but okay, Lucha Noche.
And then I asked one of our... one of our engineers who, like, knows everything about wrestling. I was trying to get the correct terminology, but he said we could call them a luchador?
Luchador, like matador, except luchador.
Luchador.
But
so for me, this was great because it was comic relief. So here we have Ray's just grieving so much, and of course he doesn't know how to express anything, so you just feel it building and building, and then Mickey is sad, and you do see this, and Mickey in a way expresses his feelings much better than Ray. He's writing a script and trying to process his emotions through this script where someone is lost and giving their heart to the other person, and so very sensitive in a way, Mickey, and I guess some of that comes with age. But so you have these two really strong characters who are sad and grieving in their own ways, and then Terry, who has a new grief that's just on his plate. So Lucha Noche was my, like, comic relief, and it was so fun to see them, like, bump around and hit each other and the masks and, you know, how Teresa's so into it, and, like, Bunchy just can't get it together. So I was really fun.
It was interesting, too. I was trying to pay attention when Mickey was talking about what he was writing in the screenplay, and one of the things that kind of stuck out as I was watching is that he kept talking about whether he was going to kill a female character off or not. And this, I think, was in the beginning when we were in Abby's, before we actually knew, like, that she was actually gone. We were just starting to get hints of it.
Yes.
And he was debating whether he wanted to kill her, and I think he decided not to because he wanted her spirit to live on. And I thought, that's interesting. That's a really good...
It's like foreshadowing.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and then Ray, so there's this scene in the bar where he's not sure. I think the real estate agent says, well, don't kill her off. People won't like that. Right, and then Ray says she should die. It's better when...
Stick to what you know.
Right, because stick to what you know.
We have a comment in the chat. Hubby Joe asks, who is the guy that Ray's daughter meets at the bar?
Okay, so Smitty, right? We see, we knew Bridget was going off to NYU school in New York City, and she gets off the subway and she meets up with Smitty.
Right.
And now we don't really know who he is, but through conversation I sort of picked up that he was a patient in the hospital that Abby was also a patient at.
Yes, at Sloan Kettering. So I think they were cancer patients together.
Yes.
And I think, this is all speculation, but I think that Bridget met him when she was visiting her mom. Mm-hmm. Now, what I don't know is, there's all this talk about he was a trial, he was in a cancer trial and his body rejected it, so he didn't go forward with the trial, and I wondered if he was receiving anything from Abby.
I think I have an idea. So all we heard, because Abby said he was the kid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when she was speaking Bridget to Ray
said,
on the phone.
Bridget said. Bridget. So I think that what happened was, I think he was maybe in the lottery and got picked to go in for that surgery. Yes. Maybe in place of her mother. And that's just a theory. I could be off on that, but that would explain why and why she's actually meeting up with him, because she feels some kind of resentment. However, when she's talking to him, she learns that he had meningitis, so he didn't actually go in for the surgery and has to restart the lottery all over again. But maybe him getting that spot took it away from her mother, and then she had to restart, and then last minute, Smitty had to restart, so it didn't matter.
Or
anyway.
He also got sick with meningitis, and it seems like they were in close quarters, so I don't, maybe that's how, maybe she got sick. Yeah. I don't really know.
But she didn't seem to have any ill will towards him, I didn't think.
No.
In fact, I was feeling from Bridget, in all the characters basically except Bunchy, I was feeling her grief and her longing for connection, mm-hmm. and she missed her mother so much that the closest thing to her mother would be the patient next to her mother in the
right.
hospital.
And maybe that's what it is that they were very close, Smitty and Abby, and that's why now she's trying to connect for the first time.
Yes. You know, I was thinking that she just was looking for someone to confide in, and I also think it's bizarre that I'm assuming that Abby received treatment in L.A., but the fact that Bridget is living in New York City and also this patient that was close with Abby in whatever way is in New York City as well, it seems kind of something's missing there.
Well, I think Sloan Kettering is one of the best places in the U.S.,
so
they sent her to a specialty place.
Okay, got it. But also, I had the feeling that she was just longing for a connection, but the way that she kind of flipped it on Ray when she was talking, and she was like, I met with the kid. It didn't really seem like she was emotional in any way, so I'm not sure if she was acting or, like, playing to get something.
And that's what kind of rubbed me the wrong way, mm-hmm. was when she was talking to Ray, it almost sounded like she was up to something.
Yes.
Yeah, it did.
And that's why I think that she might, even though she's acting, like, really sweet and, like, she needs this guy to connect with, I think there might be something else. I think that maybe this kid did something, even if he didn't realize he did it, and that she's upset and she eventually wants to confront him about it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, because when we do see the recap of the entire season at the end of the episode, she's in a bathtub with him, but it seems like she's firing off questions like she had some type of agenda. So I think that she really does have an underlying agenda, whether meeting up with him and being friends with him is genuine or not. She's definitely trying to get something from that situation.
Yes.
But that was the first time that I really knew that Abby was gone.
Right.
Yeah. Was that the same for you guys as well?
When she was crying, she was trying to tell him.
But she still wouldn't, like, nobody in this entire episode has said Abby's dead.
Yeah.
I guess.
No one said it.
I knew it, and I don't know chronologically if it comes before Bridget or after, but Ray just continuing these flashbacks of her told me that she was gone. You know, he kept remembering when she was singing the song Fade Into You, and they were talking about their 25th birthday together in the bathtub, and all this reminiscing, and Ray running up the stairs to the bedroom to remembering when Bridget was crying.
Yeah.
And so I knew that she was, and it was just when the bar wasn't, actually that was really the first thing that made me think, is that how this is going to go? Because the bar was named Abby, and I was like, oh, that almost seems like
a tribute to her.
A tribute,
The bar is struggling, right? They're wasting
$20,000 a month, and they're not selling.
And that's the thing, is that I, kind of like you, like, I saw all these different hints when he was having the flashbacks, something told me she was gone. Right. Even when Mickey went to the grave, something told me. But the moment I knew 100% without any doubt in my mind was when Bridget was trying to tell Smitty what had happened, like how her mom was doing, and she couldn't. That's right. when I knew. I was like, okay, yeah, she's not. She's
right.
She's passed.
When she broke down.
Yeah,
with him.
100%. Yes. And you could tell, I mean, obviously people are, the entire family is taking it hard, especially Ray, but you could just tell that he's trying to honor Abby in any way he can, as if he almost feels guilty because he, in the first flashback of them in the car, she speaks about how she wants to open a bar. Like, when the kids are gone, she wants to open a bar. Now he has a bar named Abby. And
also she was saying it's a place for family to meet.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he can't let it go, because Abby saw this as a gathering place for the
family.
Yeah,
and he won't let it go, especially it's losing all this money and he won't let it go. He has a shitty bartender or manager, whoever he is, and he's making mistakes and giving them, like, health code violations, but he says, well, Abby hired him, so he doesn't fire him,
right?
And now we know...
So we know the bar was around before she passed away.
Oh, right. Good.
Yeah.
Good, you little...
Yeah. That's good. Pick up on that.
Yeah.
And, deduction there. In that same conversation in the car, she also suggests that Mickey should live with them. And now we see that Mickey does, in fact, live with them.
Yeah.
And we don't know when that happened, but...
Can I just say, too, that that was, for me, one of the saddest moments, aside from Bridget on the floor crying, one of the saddest moments was when Ray is basically, well, I think this was that moment. Bridget was on the floor crying, and then he goes to open the door, and when he opens it to their bedroom, he looks like he's crying, and then we go back to the present, and it's an empty made bed.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
I know. Yes. That,
yeah.
That scene was hard.
It was brilliant how they wrote that, the whole episode. But that moment in particular, I was like, wow, this it was like a very, like, obviously very sad, but very beautiful in the way that they portrayed it and the way that they showed it cinematically, too.
But something that I thought was confusing, so here I'm going along, I'm going to say 60% through the episode, and I have processed in my head, okay, I think Abby has passed away. And they're in the car, and they get in a car crash. And so all this time I'm thinking she's passed away from cancer. Then I'm expecting she's going to pass away from a car crash. I was surprised they both lived from that car crash, because we've seen, like, the hills, and when you go over them, people, you don't really live to tell.
You wouldn't survive.
Yeah, that doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
So I was surprised. But they do both live, so I'm guessing she did then pass from cancer.
You want to know what I think? So at first I thought it was just them trying to throw us off, but then... They kept showing that girl who was dressed only in her underwear. I think they did that for a specific reason, and I think we're going to find out that maybe it relates to what happened, or that it relates to something else that's just as important with but a different storyline.
Well, that it does open a storyline for us. I mean, they do get in a car crash, and she has a bump on her head, and he makes a point to acknowledge the bump, so I don't know if that has to do with anything.
Right. Maybe it's a concussion.
But,
that...
yeah, that's great that we bring up the girl, because this girl is Natalie. So we see when Ray gets back to his office, he sees this girl on TV, this star, you know, back to Ray's roots. That's what he did originally was, you know, help out these Hollywood people who are making fools of themselves. So this girl, Natalie, she got photos leaked of her when she was, you know, naked or undressed, whatever. And it's ironic that he... That was Natalie, the girl that ran into the middle of the road when he and Abby were driving, and he swerved off the road, and that's when she was undressed.
Right.
So it all links somehow, and I think it's kind of, it's like too good to be true in a way, you know what I mean? How just right place at the right time.
And, yeah.
But...
Well, another thing, just to like make matters totally 100% confusing, so when Bridget is crying, and, you know, there are many different ways to cry, so it's the kind of cry where... it's like mildly hysterical, filled with grief. It's not that she's in pain, physical pain. You can tell by the sound of the crying that it is unrepairable grief for her. I thought it's strange that she isn't with her mother. Wouldn't she be in the bedroom?
She must,
Unless she got so freaked out.
Yeah.
And well, so the but the only thing that would keep, I speak for myself, the only thing that would keep me from being in the bedroom if someone close to me was passing is if they took their own life or something bloody. And so I thought, this almost looks like, did she commit suicide because she was in pain?
And I was wondering that too, partially, because it just seems like it would be too neat that she would have passed from, you know, being sick.
Right.
I feel like
something
right there. Yes.
And also, if that's what had happened, why didn't Bridget just call the hospital immediately?
Right.
So I think something much worse happened.
Much worse happened.
That put her in shock.
Really true.
Yes.
I didn't think of that.
Yes.
Because it is bizarre that she's outside of the bedroom with the door closed.
Makes no sense.
Like, and
I think
the look on Ray's face was extremely shocked.
Horror, right.
So it's, I have a feeling that they didn't know it was coming. Like, if she was really sick with cancer, I mean, she had been sick, but if she was sick on the verge of dying, it would kind of, it
wouldn't
be
a shock.
Yeah. They would know that it was coming, and maybe she would die in the hospital or, like, hospice. You know what I mean? It would be a different situation, but that is a very good point.
Unless Bridget was just so freaked out, no matter how she died, that she couldn't be in there.
Mm-hmm.
But
strange, though.
It would be, yeah, but it's, like, I guess if she was just dying peacefully in her bed.
You'd be by her bedside.
Yeah.
You would, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the biggest storyline of it all at this point. We need to figure out what happened to Abby. But now, aside from Ray's personal life, now he has new work situations popping up. So, as we mentioned, this girl, Natalie, needs some damage control, and he gets a call from the guy, Doug, at Pacific Pictures, they're calling it, a.k.a. I mean, they always shoot at Paramount, like,
they call it Pacific.
I thought it was Sony.
It was at Sony? Well, they, I think that they shoot at Sony Pictures, but I could have sworn in one episode he, like, rolled through the gates of Paramount, so I always just assumed that it was at Paramount, but who knows what they're doing. I bet you it is at Sony, since that's where they're...
I can only say that because I just went on a Sony tour recently, and I passed the Ray Donovan set.
Oh, you did?
And
there you
also,
go.
There was a rainbow on the Sony lot, and you, sometimes you see the rainbow in the background when they're walking.
Oh.
And at the Sony lot, they have all these old cars that you can look at, and a lot of times when you're walking, well, a lot of times when they're walking on the show, I can see the old cars, and I can see the gift shop from
That's
the Sony
great.
Lot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That must be so awesome to... you know, people are just walking on the lot that are working, but then they're, it's kind of cool that you could use it both ways, like actually in the show as a lot, but you're really, you know, it's kind of ironic. It's weird, but so he goes to do damage control. He assumes it's for Natalie, the woman with the pictures, but it's actually for Sam Winslow.
Susan Sarandon, hello.
Yeah, and when they said Sam, I was assuming it was a guy.
Me
I had
too.
No idea it was going to be a woman.
We are sexist.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, I'm sorry, but I really did just assume.
I thought it was going to be a woman.
You're getting all the right answers in this show.
I always think like the correct. But so Sam is in some sort of trouble, enough trouble where they're willing to pay $500,000 per person for, like, per
eternity.
Month.
Yeah, right,
forever. Yeah. So it must be something really, really bad that they, some type of leverage that they have over her.
And we, like, I don't even know. I was trying to listen carefully to hear what it was that they were basically exchanging for all this, and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
All I got was that, I got that money was
her
involved.
Files, right?
Yeah, I knew it was some type of papers or files, but it's like, what could possibly be that bad that you need to pay someone forever to keep it?
I don't know. We've seen
a
lot of bad stuff on this show, and some people have a lot of bad backgrounds. And if you've got that kind of money, people aren't going to hold you up
They'll
for $1,000 a month. They're going to hold you up for what you've got. So if you've got the money... But everyone's got their big old secrets. That's what makes this show so great.
Yeah, and she seems like, when we do meet her, she seems like a very smart, like a wise figure.
She does, and she's the head of a studio, so you would expect this from her. She's all business. She's all buttoned up. She's all Susan Sarandon. Mm-hmm. It's her son who's got a screw loose.
Well, it's her stepson.
Stepson, George.
He's definitely very strange when he... she asked Ray to give him a ride home, and on the way home, Ray's not listening. He's just reminiscing about
Abby.
Going through all the Abby stuff. But he's back there talking about the Wizard of Oz and the Munchkins and the Munchkin. And they're not called Munchkins. What do they call them in
the Munchkins?
They call them the
Munchkin
in the Munchkin Man or something.
And the Culver City Hotel. Where
I
they
love
all
that
stayed.
Hotel. I love that hotel. Really? I highly recommend it.
Oh my gosh, I love that hotel.
Either. Well, and then he talks about how one kills himself and you could see him in the movie.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm going to look for it.
What? I did hear that before.
In the Tin Man scene? So
that you can see him hanging in the tree. But did he do it on set? Like, I don't really know.
How could they not know?
We should research that, because that is not the first time I've heard that before.
Yeah. Wouldn't the set people remove someone who just hung themselves?
Maybe they just didn't know that he was there. Like, I really don't know.
Wow. I don't know. Okay, so a little trivia for us to look into. You guys, too. You can look into and let us know what you find.
It's so strange. But I feel like this entire conversation he was having with himself, essentially, it has to be ironic in some way.
Well, yes, because then he goes on. I was so sorry to interrupt you. Because then he goes on to quote, I love The Wizard of Oz because it's got the famous quote, home is where the heart is, which is not what is in The Wizard of Oz. But Ray is the one to say, no, there's no place like home. So you can just see again, Ray. Oh, he's crying inside. So hard.
And he specifically, the stepson specifically says that he watched his sister die, and that's what brings Ray back to the present.
Yeah, because he's like, what? Wait, what do you mean?
Right. Yeah, and so there's a story. Talk about sideline stories. There's a story there with George that's waiting to come out.
I mean, we have a whole bunch of sideline stories. So we have to figure out what's up with Sam and what she's hiding.
And Natalie.
We have this entire Natalie character that we know is huge in this plot, but we don't even... She's not even really involved in it at all at this point.
But Lily Simmons plays her. We only got a shot of her in underwear, but I did reach out to her on Twitter, so maybe she'll come on the show.
Yeah.
Come on.
It'd be fun to
have
her.
And then when we're in Ray's office, we don't see Javi. And Lena says that they haven't heard from him in a very long time.
Yes.
But he played such a large role in killing the Russians, and maybe because they tortured and kidnapped him, he kind of needed his own time, but...
No, I think there's a backstory that's going to happen with Avi, I think, because I thought we got reference to it at some point at the very end of this episode, where he said, because we're having all this trouble with Avi.
Mm-hmm.
Ray didn't say it, but someone said, was it Mickey? Someone said... We're having this trouble with Avi.
Was it in, like, the sneak peek of the season?
I definitely saw something like that in the sneak peek.
In the sneak peek, right.
Because they were saying, like, his problems are our problems, essentially. And then, obviously, we need to figure out what happens with Abby, the biggest of all. Who's Smitty?
Right. And why?
What is her game plan with him, too?
Yes.
Yep.
Right.
And
and not to mention Connor. I still want to know.
Yeah. Why?
What kind of school is he at? Is it military? Is it temporary? Is it?
They made it seem like it was some type of military school.
They did, which I'm surprised because the Donovans are so against institutions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they run their own underground thing, not by anybody's rules. They're not rule followers. So I'm very surprised they would send him to an ultra rule following place.
Unless it was somehow his decision once everything happened with his mom.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
And Ray was just like, all right, well, he's probably in so much grief.
Right.
So there are so many unanswered questions. I think we should all start placing bets.
Yeah.
Because seriously, I think you're going to win most of them.
I know. And it's true when you think about it is... When Abby's gone, Ray is left to take care of everyone. Everything. And when they were in the car during the flashback, she was thinking about everybody. She was like, oh, we need to have a place for Bunchy to work. We need to have a place for Connor to work. Mickey needs a house. Like, she was thinking ahead to take care of Ray's entire family. Yeah. But now that she's gone, it's like, well, who's taking care of everybody? Even the kids. Ray hasn't really been the strongest father figure in their life.
Right.
So how could he handle the situation without her?
Yeah, exactly. And she was really the one that was the glue keeping everything together, too.
Yeah, and Mickey always referred to her as that way. You know, you're the star, you're the bright light in all of our lives. You're really what keeps us together. And Abby would always say, well, I'm here because I love your son. And so she really was that
And he kept glue. That consistent, though, because when the episode came to an end and Ray was drinking and he passed out in the bed... And we knew Mickey was living there. He said she was the brightest star. She was the brightest light, whatever. So, I don't know. This just proves that, I mean, they're keeping it consistent. I feel like I was a little bit worn out towards the end of last season because I was so sick of the Russian storyline.
Oh, you were?
I was kind of over it.
Oh, gosh. Like, oh, not me.
Really? I feel like they were just beating it to death. But now that we have something completely fresh and there are so many questions that I actually want the answer to, because I feel like it contributes to something so much larger. This season is going to be a good one.
Yeah, no, I think this season is going to be a great one. I just want to do one little shout out if I can.
Yeah.
I thought it was very cool. I'm going to have to look this up if writer-director David Hollander went to Northwestern, because there's a little shout out to Evanston, Illinois, where my alma mater is, Northwestern.
Yeah.
So then who would ever think Evanston, Illinois? But they put that in the script. Those were the people who were going to buy Ray's house.
Oh.
They're from Evanston, Illinois.
A little
so
plug
somebody
there.
Somebody went to Northwestern in this episode. I don't know who, but somebody did.
That's cool.
Actually, the guy who plays Smitty, he's from Westchester, Pennsylvania, which is pretty much 5 minutes from where I'm from.
How fun is that?
Yeah.
How fun is that?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, we pretty much threw out predictions in there during, you know.
Sure.
But do you guys have any final thoughts that you'd like to add before we wrap it up?
Just that I definitely think there's more to the Abby storyline than just dying from being sick.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's much more to it than that.
I agree.
And I think they're going to keep showing us flashbacks that hint at her almost.
But it's going to be a while before we figure out what really happened, naturally, of course.
Yeah, because that's how the Smitty character will play out. Mm-hmm. It'll be in tandem with what really happened to Abby.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think we're going to see more about backstories for Daryl because we didn't see too much of him.
Yeah, we don't know. Daryl's really not... He's working for Ray, but...
Yeah.
But he's unbothered.
He's kind of... If you can say this, he's like the ounce of stability in the family at the moment. It looks like Bunch is going to be back with his baby, which is where he shines, right? That's where he's really good at being just a sweetie at heart, so and not having to follow too many directions. So Bunchy's going to be really
good. But Abby helped
daddy
him with that last time.
Yes, yes, definitely. But I think he's kind of got the hang of it himself.
Yeah,
hopefully. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see if Mickey pitches in. That'll be funny. But yeah, okay. But then otherwise, I think you're right. We're going to see lots of Abby, little piece by piece. And then, of course, we're going to have Ray's career, which will be the Natalie story with Sam.
I have one more prediction. I think that episode 12 will flash back to her funeral once everything's tied up.
Oh, so it's going to be, like, consistent flashbacks throughout the season.
That's what I think, yeah.
Are you a writer?
Yes.
Okay, well, then there you have it. Okay, I figured you weren't just an actress.
Okay,
you had to also be a writer.
This.
Yes.
Episode 1 now, but I'm calling you out on episode 12.
That's great.
All right, thank you guys so much for tuning in and coming back to join us for season 5. Again, I'm Olivia Gebre. You can hit me up at The Real OG.
I'm Elizabeth Alfano. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DinnerPartyCHGO. I'm on Facebook at Elizabeth Alfano. And check out all my celebrity interviews at thedinnerparty.tv.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman or Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman.
Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week.
Bye, peeps.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.